Hello, and welcome to worship here at Second Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. My name is Mike, and I want to be the first to thank you and welcome you to our beautiful, inclusive community known as Second Baptist Church. We have so many things to offer here at Second B. A beautiful music program consisting of our choir, our orchestra, our handbells, even the little tykes have their own choir program. We also have a vibrant children's and youth program going on. We have Bible study for all ages at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday. Two beautiful in-person traditional worship services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. There's something for everybody here at Second B. So we invite you to come visit us at 6109 Chicago Avenue. It's at Chicago in the South Loop. Very easy to get to right here in Lubbock, Texas. You can also visit our website at secondb.org to learn more about us. Check out our Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, and Instagram, all at secondbaptistlbk. And if you just want to talk to somebody and find out more information, you can do that as well. Give us a call here at the church office at 806-783-0202. We would love to introduce you to the awesome Second Baptist Church here in Lubbock. Again, thank you so much for joining us here today. I do want to ask one last thing. If you happen to be a first-time visitor today, please take just a moment to visit our website at secondb.org/welcome and fill out the quick form on there just to let us know that you took the time to visit us today, to check out Second B, and maybe let us know more of how we can help you get connected here at Second Baptist. Thank you so much again for joining us. We have a beautiful worship service planned for you today. Let's turn our hearts and minds to worship now. Thank you and God bless.
At Second Baptist, the table is the Lord's table, so all are welcome to communion because all are loved by God. We will come forward to receive communion later in the service today. Please exit your row to your right and move to the first available deacon serving your section. COVID has caused us to change how we do communion, so please follow these instructions for everyone's health and safety. Please sanitize your hands just before coming forward to take communion. If you are wearing a mask, please remove it before taking the bread and cup, so both of your hands are free. When you are done, do not replace your cup in the tray, but dispose of it in the receptacle on the front row as you return to your seat. Also, gluten-free bread is available in each tray in special cups with side compartments holding the bread. The cups contain no alcohol. If you wish to remain seated or you want communion in a sanitary, sealed package, please raise your hand for the deacon who will be passing down each aisle and will bring communion to you. Most importantly, we hope communion will be a meaningful experience for you today. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are so delighted to be here with all of you. It just makes our day to see you when you come on Sunday. So thank you so much for being here. And those of you joining us online, wherever you are, we welcome you to worship today as well. A few things I'd like to remind you of. Those of you who went on the adult retreat, welcome back. We're so glad you were here. We missed you last week, but we know you had a wonderful weekend. And those of you who didn't go on the adult retreat, also, we are all invited to participate in a survey that is in your second helping, and it was also emailed out to us in the second page link. And we're all invited to take the survey so that they help them prepare for adult retreat for next year. So please take time to do that this week if you have time. Also, our Wednesday night suppers are back. We started this past week, and we had a great attendance here, and we invite you to register for dinner this coming Wednesday night as well. Johnny and Chef Robert have been working on another great menu item. You can register online or call the church, and we'd love to see you this Wednesday night for classes and for dinner. And then I'd like to remind you that this Friday we will honor and celebrate the life of our sweetest Lee Pennington. His service is at 2:00 on Friday, and I hope that if you can, you'd make it and celebrate with the family. If you can't make it, send them a prayer card during the week. They'd love to hear from you. And then again, on Saturday, come back again at 2:00 as we honor Dot Thompson. She's having a 90th birthday celebration right out here in the Grand Hall, and you all are welcome to come and celebrate with us as well. Now let's just take a moment and prepare ourselves for the worship service today. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Come and worship. Be still and aware of God's presence within and around you. Come and worship. Be still and aware of Jesus' presence within and around you. Come and worship. Be still and aware of the Spirit's presence within and around you. Be still and know the presence of the Triune God, the Creator from whom we come, the Son through whom we come, the Spirit by whom we come. We hear the word of God. Be still and know that I am God.
Thank you. God, as we come together to continue to worship you, we ask that you remind us of your love, as the idea of love is so on the forefront of our minds, so close to the holiday, God. We ask that you allow us and lead us to be better examples of your love, not just today and tomorrow, but every day. God, we praise you, and it is in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Children to join us this morning. Hi, Eva. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good. All right. I have something to tell you. You don't want to sit with us? Well, come on, Mark. You can join her. We're all God's children, Mark.
Or childish.
Or childish, Mark says. Hey, you know what? In the Bible, Jesus tells us you only have one thing to do. And I'm going to tell you what that is. You only have to love others. Did you know that? That's the only thing you have to do. Now, who do you love? God. Okay, who do you love?
I love Mom and Dad and my brother and God.
Good answers. Good. Who else? Who else do you love?
My family and Jesus and God and the
all the right answers, guys. All the right answers. Well, here's the deal. Okay, who do you love? Everybody. You guys have all the right answers. And in the Bible. Yes, Eva, go. Who do you love?
I like my mom and dad and my sister and my dog and
your dog?
Joanna and God.
And good answers, guys. You know, remember, the Bible says to love one another as we love ourselves. And nobody loves like children. Nobody does. How do you know tomorrow is Valentine's Day? Did y'all know that already?
Yeah.
Yes!
It's so awesome.
It's so awesome. Well, I have some little things here for you. Okay, don't open them yet because there's going to be a little thing we're going to do together.
Do we get to take them home?
You get to take them home. You get to take them home. Okay, I want you to... You want one? Everybody gets one.
Yeah.
Everybody... Can y'all do baggies? Can y'all undo baggies?
Yeah.
I have an army of people ready. You can do baggies. Okay, Cheryl, here's your baggie.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, look at them. Look at these. Aren't they pretty? There's some sparkly ones. Okay, now what I want you to do, remember I told you that we're supposed to love ourselves. So what I want you to do is to look through this baggie, and I want you to find a heart that you really, really like.
Find one you really like?
Find you real, when you, do you find it?
I like all of them.
I do too. I like the green ones.
I like the green ones.
Yeah, me too. I like the green. Oh, I got a red one.
I like the green
sparkling. I like the green sparkling one. Okay. Here's what you need to do. Do you know how to do this? You peel the back off. Pull the back off and put the trash in your baggie. Put in the baggie. Okay. Here's what you do, because we love ourselves. You take the white thing off and it's sticky. And I want you to put it on your shirt or your blouse or your dress, wherever you want. Okay. Did you get it off? They all did baggies. Great. Good in the baggies. Can you get it off? This is to remind you that God loves you and you love yourself. Did you get it, Anderson? Did you take the paper off the bag? And now stick it on your shirt. Now look in your bag. Do you have extra hearts? And you're helping each other. Thank you, Juliana. Okay, what I want you to do with the baggie, you're going to have a job to do to love others. You probably have 5 or 6 hearts in your baggie. I want you to give those to people that you love. What? Yeah. Or keep them all. We don't care. It's second B.
I want this one for my dad.
Okay, you give it to somebody, and when you're going, okay, go give it to your dad. And what you do is, when you give it to them, what should you say to them? I love you. Oh, they're going. They're going. Okay. Okay, y'all go. Y'all go. And, question one. We have a question.
Are you married?
Oh.
Yes, I am. I think I just got a proposal this morning.
Question.
Oh, and okay. Last question, Pastor, I promise. Yes, sir.
Oh.
Well, you can think of it later. You can tell me later. Okay, what is it? A church question? I love everyone. I love most everyone. Most everyone. Okay, but I love myself. Okay. Open the baggie and look what happens. All right, thank you guys for coming. If you go to preschool praise, you may go. Give these hearts away, okay? Give them away. Yeah, here, you want another baggie? You can have another baggie.
Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us join our hearts in prayer. Blessed are you, God, in this place, at this time, among these people. We here seek to be planted in nourishing places, not for ourselves, but for the good of the world. Help us to choose each day the path that leads to wisdom, seasoned by grace. Make us mindful of those for whom food and shelter and health are not givens, whose eyes glisten with grief. Soften our own hearts with compassion, that they may fill with joy, as we commit again and again together to seeking your way as your people in this place on this day. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
grateful, Pastor Catherine, who led us last week in a wonderful word and message. And grateful for Mike Linder leading our worship this week. And thank you to our deacons for serving us at the table of Christ. Really, all of these are just such beautiful gifts. If you would now just take a moment to breathe. Of all you hear, all you receive today in this time together is a reminder that it is not oxygen that fills your lungs. It is the fullness and the presence of the Holy Spirit that fills all of who you are. Just breathe. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin with a controversial take. I have an opinion, and this is Second B. I'm under the impression I can be a little controversial. And in the past, I referenced my opinion, and I was told I did not take a bold enough stand. Imagine that, sermon feedback. and so today, I'm not going to beat around the bush at all. Okay, it's almost that time of year. Maybe after this evening, it will be that time of year. Aren't I special, by the way? I'm compensating. Michael Jordan is the greatest men's basketball player of all time, period. The gospel of our... Anyways, some of you might make an argument, might pose a position for someone playing right now, LeBron James or Luka is pretty incredible. Others of you rightly may say, no, Larry Bird or Hakeem Abdul-Jabbar, certainly. Now, the reason why Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time is because that's when I grew up. And I really needed a sermon illustration. The objective is laden with the subjective, isn't it? And I grew up on various sports teams and sitting the bench for various sports teams. And the beginning of every game I've ever been a part of and at halftime of every sort of sporting event I've ever participated in, we were real Christians and we had a pregame liturgy, a spiritual practice that inaugurated all of our losses. And what we did, we were fancy, is we all put our hands in the middle, right? Have you done this? Yeah. And then there was one filled with the Spirit amongst us. We'd call out, "What time is it?" And we would all respond, "Game time." Who? Right? And so if you would, "What time is it?" "Game time." Who? Yeah. I heard some hoops. Why did we do this? But that was exactly what the 1990s Chicago Bulls did for every game, and we watched that on TV, and so this is what filled our lives. By the way, some of those baseball games that we did this right before, I would then stand 90 feet away from Mr. Matthew Stafford. Even when I was 10 years old, we called him Mr. Matthew Stafford. And he would pitch the ball, and I would swing three times and miss. And that was the fullness of my athletic career. We're each living our best lives, aren't we, Mr. Stafford? I think this pregame liturgy asks an incredible question for us, a deeply spiritual question. What time is it? And this is the question I think that absolutely incredible. In our New Testament, there are two primary words. In the New Testament of our scripture, there are two primary words used for time. The first is rather simple. It's the word chronos. This is where we derive chronology. Chronos is structured, ordinary, regular time. It's beautiful. It's when the time came, they got up and went throughout our New Testament. The second word in our New Testament used for time is a radically different word. It's the word kairos. And kairos seems to be more of an appointed time, or Kairos is that time in which the veil between this life and ultimate reality, the veil between this life and the fullness of God's presence is thin and as sheen as ever. Yeah, this is Kairos. When minutes last for hours, or when weeks lasts for but a second. Albert Einstein, really not speaking in such spiritual categories, and yet he describes, as you well know, that time is in fact dependent upon velocity and gravity. Kairos is when that gravitas is so great it bends time as we know it. Chronos is when we are moving, when that gravitas is so dependable and time can be structured. Each of these, let me be very clear, each of these are fantastic. Each of these are so helpful to the way that we live. You're going Monday to Tuesday? Tuesday to, great, you're Chronos, fantastic. What an important, normal, regular time of life. Or maybe you're really cooking on something. Maybe there's really something heavy in your... This is Kairos time. Yeah, absolutely. And may the Spirit of God be with you and bless you in this time. I think our scriptures today sort of embody this in a wonderful way. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the greatest sermon oration, one of the greatest collections of teaching in human history. And if all we had in our scriptures, okay, if all we had was Matthew 5 through 7, it would be enough. It would be enough. It is just pouring eternally with wisdom for the fullness of three chapters. And Jesus is just... He's a pretty good teacher, don't you know? Conversely, Luke chapter 6, the Sermon on the Plain that we encounter today, retelling the very same moment in history that Matthew spends three chapters to describe. Luke, we just read the whole thing. It's less than half a chapter. It's much shorter. It's absolutely incredible. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes up to a mountain and sits down and speaks to the masses. To me, that's Kairos. It's absolutely incredible, unending in wisdom. This scripture is endless for us in understandings, whereas Luke chapter 6, there's a crowd, and it says that Jesus remained standing, did not address the crowd, and instead spoke to his disciples. There is a time for speaking to the crowd, and there is a time for just speaking to those whom you know and love. There is a time for a mountain, and there is a time, don't you know, for that which is flat and which is plain. In just a little bit, we'll celebrate the table of Christ. What an honor, what a gift. And I'm reminded in our Hebrew scriptures, in the Exodus tradition, it tells the story of God delivering the people outside of the bondage and the slavery of Pharaoh in Egypt. And they arrive in the desert, and the people, having been delivered by God, call out to God, and God provides for them in the desert manna from heaven. Every need, everything that is required, God provides for the people. It's absolutely incredible. And yet in the Numbers tradition, telling of that very same story, God having delivered the people. Here the people are out in the wilderness. God is in process of delivering these people into a land of freedom and worship. And there in the desert, the people cry out, God, did you bring us into the desert only that we would starve? And God provided, the Numbers tradition says it very differently, that there is so much manna each and every morning that the Israelites could not even come near to reaping it all, to enjoying all, so much manna each and every morning that it becomes a burden as it rots and as it festers. The Exodus tradition tells of God's provision. The Numbers tradition almost tells of a story of sarcasm, of what our complaints before God can feel like to the divine who has delivered people. It's absolutely incredible, the telling of these two stories from these different perspectives. I've experienced this a little bit recently in my own life, and I have not been running very much. I've been chasing two little ones a little bit more. But recently I was struggling through a 3-mile jog in our neighborhood. We live just here in this very neighborhood. It's about a 30-minute endeavor for me, a 30-minute 3-mile jog. And so I was jogging through the neighborhood, and I was coming up near the end of my exercise, we'll generously call it, and maybe with about a quarter of a mile left. Just here at Irons Middle School, headed north behind Whiteside Elementary. And I saw this guy in the neighborhood running who I see often. I'm more often driving, and he's more often running. And I do see him out on runs occasionally. He's often out ahead of me, and I'll not see him ever again. But on this occasion, I found myself at Irons Middle catching up to him just ever so slightly. Past the playground, get up right behind the elementary, and believe it or not, I mean, just, I caught him. I caught up to him. And then I turned it up just a little, and I passed him. And I said, "Good job, Jake. You still got it. Take that, Mr. Matthew Stafford." And I passed him, and see him out running all the time. I know that he lives north, up here in the more Remington area. And I go west on 75th. So this is about mile 2.8. I just passed him, feeling good about myself. And I go home, and I'm extra vain. So I like to record my exercises on a watch, and get home, plug my watch into the computer so that the computer can say, "You are slow. You knew it." And I upload my workouts to this online web application thing. And you can see how you've been running and compare it to different things and biking, all that sort of stuff, yada, 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 whatever. And then your friends, they call it online, can see your exercises. And, one of the things this is intended to do is you see so-and-so had a workout, you give them a thumbs up, you give them a kudos, you know, because that's what the internet is all about, right? It's just like encouraging people in what they're doing. It's just such a great place for that sort of thing. So I upload my workout. I'm looking at this workout, 3 miles, and I know in the back of my mind, I just passed this guy. You know, I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. I just lost an argument to a 4-year-old. And I look, and that very same guy that I had passed uploaded his workout. And I saw that he had just completed a 20-mile run. It was about mile 19.2 when I passed him. And his entire 20-mile run had a faster average pace than what I did for 3 miles. Yeah. But for just a moment, right? For just a moment in time, we shared this one space of the road. Yeah. And I imagine there are people passing you, wherever and however you may be. I imagine you may be passing people, wherever and however you may be. Living, and yet we can have these rattle. I was having Kronos. I was struggling. He was having Kairos. Absolutely just incredible. Matthew 5, and the Sermon on the Mount, as well as on the Sermon on the Plain, but Matthew 5 begins with these incredible statements as to what true reality is on the lips of Jesus. The Beatitudes is what inaugurates this sermon. In Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So good. And for those of you poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Christ has given all of this to you. Interestingly, in Luke 6, verse 20, the first of these Beatitude statements about what reality really is, on the lips of Jesus in this shorter sermon, it says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Interestingly, throughout the Gospel of Matthew, there is this preference towards the kingdom of heaven, the more Hebrew, the more Jewish telling, maybe through the eyewitness of James, the kingdom of, which one is it? Do we receive the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? And Christ is giving, to those of you poor in spirit, Christ is giving. The kingdom of heaven is all it has been given. And yet Luke tells us to start the same moment, tells us a moment just a little bit different. Luke, with this emphasis on the universality of Christ, Luke with maybe this more Greco lens, maybe telling through the eyewitness of Paul, Luke's saying, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Which one is it? Is it the poor or the poor in spirit? Is it the kingdom of God or is it the kingdom of heaven? Which one is it? Yes. And if you have ever been broke, if you have ever been present to someone broke, theirs is the kingdom of God. If you have ever been broken, in all of your spirit, you have been broken. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. So is it time for a really long sermon? Or is it time for a short sermon? Don't answer that. Is it time for basketball? Is it time for football? Is it time for manna of heaven that reminds us that God provides? Or is it time that maybe our prayers remind us of our selfishness and our brokenness? Is it time for the kingdom of heaven, or is it time for the kingdom of God? Is it time for the poor, or is it time for the poor in spirit? Is it time for a sermon unending in Christ's wisdom? Is it time for just enough hope to get us to tomorrow? Is it time for the extraordinary, or is it time for the ordinary? What time is it? Game time. Hope. Let us stand and continue to give thanks and worship together.
Lord, we know what time it is. Thank you so much, Lord, for your presence here in our life. We know that we have a game to play under your leadership. We ask that not only do we put our enthusiasm and our energy into it, but that we also share our wealth, our riches, our understanding in a way that bring honor and glory to you in our world. We ask that you guide us through the worship of communion and throughout our day. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I'd like to just take a moment and try to summarize for you what Dr. Peter Rawlins took all weekend to unpack for us last weekend. Certainly, he did it much better. However, he shared a story about Hocus Pocus, possibly derived from the Latin liturgy at the table. And in just a moment, all will receive the invitation to come and share in the table of Christ. But Dr. Rawlins shared a fabulous analogy around this concept of hocus pocus, which, as you well know, is reserved for a magic trick. And the basic sort of structure of your standard magic trick is sort of threefold: the pledge, the turn, and the prestige. The pledge, where a sacred object is shown. The turn, where the sacred object disappears. And the prestige, where the sacred object returns and everyone oohs and ahs and claps. And however, Dr. Rawlins wonderfully reminded us that this table is similar and yet distinct from that tradition. There is the pledge. These sacred, sacred objects, the body and the blood of Christ, there is the turn in which all are invited to come and to help make these objects disappear. And there is the prestige. Unlike the magic trick, at the prestige, there is no religious pontificator or special priestly function that allows for the sacred objects to return. No. It is the body and the blood of Christ that returns in you. And you, my brothers and my sisters and my friends, I have seen the body and the lifeblood of Christ within you. And so yet again, come, celebrate and receive the broken body of Christ within us and within all things, and come and receive again the lifeblood of Christ poured out and resurrected in our very lives.
To communion, we respond. body, his blood, know that he has overcome every trial we will face. And none too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you,
pass, receive, and you can spike the peace of Christ with one another. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for worship. Scripture says there is a time for nearly everything, and the eternal and present Christ be with you. Go in peace.